Thank you for those kind words. I kind of want to meet that person you're introducing. I kind of feel I'm just stumbling along on this journey, learning as I'm going. But I just feel such joy, you know. Why don't you just release some joy on the person next to you quickly? Just release some joy. Have a look at them and laugh. You know, depression is so overrated. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, not the joy of your bank balance or the joy of your motor vehicle or the joy of your ministry or the joy of your abilities, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. So just receive some more. Just have some more joy. Come on. Just release some more. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Whew. I've learned not to drink too much in the worship, otherwise I get wasted when I preach. So, but I've got so drunk a few times preaching lately that it's been a bit... What happens is I get very corny when I get drunk and then it really deteriorates. So, so just lift your hands to heaven if you can. And I want you to... sorry. I want you to repeat after me this one sentence. We're going to say together. We're going to make this decree. I love to say it, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are you ready? On the count of 21, no, on the count of 3, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whoo! We've just decreed something very powerful. We just agreed with heaven. With what Jesus said, that all of heaven is available to access. Whoo! Isn't that amazing? We are not orphans deprived of supply and provision. We are sons of the most wealthiest daddy on earth. Everything belongs to Him. Everything. Everything. And I've just seen so much of His goodness lately that I feel semi-wasted even trying to preach this morning. But, wow, semi-wasted, is that a word? I'm just keeping a little bit of, I'm trying to keep a bit of not waste so I can preach, okay? But there's just so much joy in life here, wow. I mean, I've got a message to preach, but I want to keep a track of the time too. You know when you preach, your watch is going like that, but when you're listening, it goes very slowly, you know? I know from being a preacher and being a listener, so I'm just going to trust that our watches will all sync this morning, you know? I see that clock there's half an hour fast. It says 20 to 11 right now. No? But I've just seen my daddy doing such crazy miracles in this last season. And I just want to mention one or two quickly and pray for them. Because, you know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, and even the Hebrew word for testimony means to repeat or to do again. So, and I want to go after, just before I preach, just after any kind of stomach problems, whether you got gluten intolerance, lactose intolerance, IBS, anything wrong with your stomach, because I've just seen like a string. It started like a few years back where, and I'll share quick four testimonies, because each one led to another one, and I trust the last one's going to lead to another one today in someone's body. So the first one started, I'm going to keep this really short. It's going to be really short. Pediatric nurse in our church. No, I won't make it that short. Anyway, this pediatric nurse, she would go and visit homes. Can I really keep this short, please? And she would check on kids that could stay at home under supervision. The mothers could supervise the medication. So one little kid, about 4 or 5, had a tube in his stomach, had to be fed intravenously, radical stomach problem. This nurse built up a relationship, noticed the woman was looking a bit depressed, built the relationship, said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I've got stage 4 cancer, single mother, no hope." The nurse said, "Can I pray for you?" The mother said, "Yes." Cut a long story short, she gets completely healed. Now, but that's not the main testimony. That's amazing. Yes. Woo! Woo, that is amazing. I'm trying to keep this short. We'd give that more glory if there was time. All right. But then she comes on a follow-up visit. And now the silent here, silent praise. And she comes to check the nutrition levels of the kid. And she's pulled the tube out the stomach. And well, yes, and she kind of, the nurse freaks out, but she's responsible. The mother took on the responsibility. She's like, what have you done? She said, no, if Jesus could heal my cancer, he could heal my son. And she pulled the tubes out and the son got healed. Isn't that awesome? But wait, there's more. So when I went down to Tupuki a few months back, I just shared that testimony. I said, anyone with stomach problems, like, I repeated the testimony, and then I got a text from the guy who pastors the revival meeting at night there, and he said there's this woman that had radical food allergies, couldn't eat normal food at all, and that night she got completely healed. Woo! Praise Jesus. But wait, there's more. So I took that testimony back to Horizon. So at a time of ministry, I said, look, we've had these two testimonies now of stomach problems being healed. Anyone here need a stomach miracle, just stand up. And so this lady in the front row, sweet lady, she thought she's got faith to stand proxy for this unsaved person. So I'm going to stand and believe, because she had this friend not saved. The doctor said no hope. They'd done all these operations. Stomach couldn't come right. She'll stand proxy. She texts the guy in the meeting, I'm getting prayed for you right now. And he kind of texts it back, yeah, right. But as it happened, the next day he had like a medical check, and he goes and gets tested and is completely healed. So boom. But wait, there's more. So then we go to the Cook Islands, and we're invited to speak at YWAM, and we're connecting with the church we're going to build with there. And so a lot of the kids, a lot of the students there, they come, some from very conservative churches. You know, YWAM has a real mixture from Pentecostal maniacs all the way to dispensationalists. So we were like, sorry, is that okay to say that? Yeah, the whole range, you know. So we wanted to drip feed, because we were there. They asked us to speak on spiritual warfare for a week. But we drip fed a few testimonies. And this one precious young lady, about 20, from America, said, you know, look, I don't mean to. She said, look, you know, I've been prayed for many times. I've got this radical stomach problem. She couldn't eat anything. She had anything would react. So we just like shared some testimonies. And to cut a long story short, she got a fellow student from Norway to pray for her. And by the evening, she was completely healed. And she was texting all her friends, her parents and friends in America couldn't believe, because they knew. And she was crying because she had given up on the healing hand of God, and she saw Daddy's goodness manifested. And she said, she came in the evening meeting, I'm eating ice cream. I can eat ice cream. I can eat ice cream. And I'm not like burping and doing all the rest and vomiting. So who needs a miracle in their stomach this morning? Just stand up quickly. Just anyone need a miracle? We just, woo! Wow. And maybe, I don't know how you do things, but if you're from this church and you're allowed to lay hands, just put your hands up so you know someone's laying hands. Keep your hand up until someone's laying hands on you. And we're just going to believe, woo! I'm going to pray very quickly. Keep your hand up until someone's laying hands on you. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Wow, just receive. There's so much, wow, so much of heaven. Just receive. Just, we thank you, Father, that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And we thank you, Father, what's being prophesied this morning is Jesus heals stomachs. So we just take authority over all stomach disorders, all dietary disorders, all gluten intolerance, all lactose intolerance, all IBS, all is it colitis. Woo! And I want to prophesy where the doctors have said there's no hope. I want to say these testimonies prophesy hope in Jesus' name. So we just speak to every stomach, restoration, wholeness. Every stomach aligned with the blueprint of heaven's health pattern in Jesus' name. Wow, 30 more seconds. Just come on, just release heaven. Our daddy's a good, good daddy. Papa. Woohoo. Thank you, thank you. All right. Woo. Amen. Just believe and receive. I want to share one other one that was really, really touching while I was there. The pastor that invited us, who's taking on a church we're going to be working with, I didn't know, but he told the students like in the previous months that his mother was dying of cancer. She was terminal, had no hope. But I didn't know that when I arrived there. And so he told the students, and they were kind of mourning with him. And then I just shared, and I want to pray for one more thing before I preach, because we've seen so many people healed by proxy. That's what we've seen. You know, we've seen people stand for others that are not, there's no distance in the kingdom realm. There's no distance in the spirit. You know, when Jesus prayed, other people were healed in other places. Just believe and the person was healed in another place. So God is raising our level of faith to believe beyond just the geographical location and where we may be seated at a particular time. So cutting a long story short, because I got something burning in me. The son stood proxy. This pastor's son was there. We just said stand. We just expected one or two because, like, some of them didn't believe in healing. But what happened is that lady shared at the start of the meeting about her stomach being healed, and that broke something in the atmosphere. So at the end, I said, if you know someone who needs prayer and needs healing somewhere else, stand up. So everyone stood up. So I just went around. I mean, it's not me, it's daddy in me. But I just went, and apparently as I went past the son, I just said, terminal cancer cancelled in Jesus' name. And I carried on. And he didn't say anything to me afterwards. Neither did Paul, the pastor. Nothing. So the next night, we're just having fellowship. And God's, it was a great night of fellowship. And then he gets a text. And he said, you won't believe this. I said, what? He said, my mother just happened to go for a test. She got it from his sister, but she lives in Brisbane. And you won't believe this, but my mother went for a test and she's completely 100% cancer free. Completely. I mean, she showed me a photo. She was yellow and gaunt, everything, and like all her levels perfect. But what I've noticed with the other testimony is I've seen this pattern. Firstly, people are being healed in other places than where we are. But secondly, many of them just happen to have a medical test that week that was scheduled where God can prove it. So I'm going to make one quick decree. If you are facing a medical test in the next week, or you want to stand proxy for someone who's got cancer or has anything, stand very quickly. I'm going to pray for 30 seconds. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you want to stand for someone else who's facing a test, then just pray very quickly. Woo! Shabba-da-ba-da-ba. Woo! I like that one. That was anointed. I like that. I like the bucketeers. I love that. The bucketeers, like the three bucketeers. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Father, we just declare that you're good. Wow, we lift up every person needing healing right now, and every person represented by someone standing in faith now that needs healing, whether it's cancer, whether it's terminal, whether, especially where doctors have said there's no hope, we prophesy hope, healing, and wholeness in Jesus' name. We cancel every single doctor's report in the name of Jesus. Right now, and we release the report of heaven, which is Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Amen. Jesus heals. Amen. Woo! That's it. You now notice Jesus prayed very short prayers and he saw amazing results. Often the longer we pray is more a measure of unbelief than belief. You know, we're not like those prophets of Baal competing with Elijah. Let's cut ourselves some more and let's scream some more. You know, Jesus said, come out, be healed, be still. Often his prayers were just in two words. Woo! Anyway. Feeling it in this house, man. You guys are awesome. Whoa. All right. You're powerful people. You're running out here. Got a word for you. I want all the singers and musicians to stand up quickly. Can all the singers and musos. I felt this praying for you guys. You guys are awesome. You know, I've just noticed in the trips I've made here, just like the first trip, I mean, I've always loved your worship. But more and more, I just hear a sound that's coming out of this house that's like the Lord is resting on the sound. Every, like what you guys are called to carry, what this house is called to carry, this kingdom realm to the nation and the nations beyond. You know, every house that's like an apostolic house, like a base or resource, they end up tapping into the sound of heaven, this unique sound. And I just really felt that you guys, more and more when I come, I'm just hearing, whoo, the sound that's being more defined by heaven. You know, there is a sound that's coming through all of you, all the singers, musicians. Was that a homegrown song you wrote there? Was that you guys? That's awesome. That's a good sign. But what I want to say is, I mean, this is like a whole message, but in Matthew 21, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, you know, they shouted their praise and their worship, and then it says the whole city was stirred. Not just in the vicinity where Jesus was being praised, but something through the praises and the sound of the people went into the atmosphere, and the whole city was shifted. And then they said, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus. And the very presence of Jesus was radiated beyond the perimeter of where people were praising, because they caught the sound of heaven and released it in praise to Jesus. And I just feel the Spirit encouraging you that you guys are right on it. You know, I can feel it. I can sense it. You know, that what is being released, the sound that's being released from you guys, you singers, you awesome musos, it's not just the atmosphere of this venue called heaven, but I think something's radiating from this venue, you know. Something that people I can prophesy are going to walk into the atmosphere of this house that's been created by you guys. It's an awesome. I mean, I'm not an expert in atmospheres, but I come alive. You know, I come alive when I step into this house. And I know it's Jesus, I know it's the presence, but I know a lot of what's being pioneered in this atmosphere are these singers and musicians. So, Father, I just thank you for these awesome singers, musicians, songwriters, Father. Just whoo. Let's all put our hands towards them. We just bless them. We just whack them, whatever the word is, in Jesus' name. And we just pray that more and more of the sound of heaven would radiate through these singers and musicians. Songs of heaven released. Thank you, Lord. The presence of Jesus is going to radiate. Wow. It's going to radiate from this place. We thank you, Lord, for an atmosphere of heaven established in the city through this awesome worship team, in Jesus' name. Wow. Whoo. Wow. Hey, amen. All right, I'm going to jump into my word now, if that's okay. Ta-da. I'll leave the top off, because I'll need to come up for water and air. All right, so I'm going to go very quickly. All right, I've got this introduction that I'm going to probably lose you a bit in the introduction, but then I've got 9 points. All right, each point is 10 minutes, so we're going to be home at 2:30. No, just kidding. No. They're going to be 9 points. If you can get these 9 and apply them, you'll never be the same again. But you're applying them already. That's the thing. I'm just come to really endorse what you guys are doing. But I want to talk about accessing heaven as a community of people. All right, accessing heaven. Right, who knows that God has called us to be both kings and priests? Amen? He's made us to be kings and priests. The main function of a priest is to access heaven. And the function of a king is to rule on earth. We won't be effective kings if we can't be effective priests. In other words, if we don't know how to access the resources of heaven, we'll have nothing to release and reign with on earth over sickness, disease, and poverty, and the forces of evil. And so we need to be both kings and priests. So if you have Bibles here, I want to read a scripture. Woo! Okay, the sound of pages turning. Okay, so this is the scripture I'm going to, in 1 Peter chapter 4. All my bookmarks come flying out when I turn. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. Here we go. Now let's try 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, this is like a foundation for what I want to do today. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. I mean, everyone needs to be built into a spiritual house. But the purpose of being built into a spiritual house isn't just to sit and do nothing. Scripture unveils the purpose here. It says, you like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm going very quickly, so you're going to have to keep up with me. I'm probably going to talk faster than you can listen. But if you can listen faster than I can talk, wave at me and I'll speed up. Okay, maybe you didn't get that. Anyway. All right, so what this is saying is that there's a reason why we've been built into a house, into a family. It's to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifice, to make offerings. And what this is borrowing is like good typology from the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, they made sacrifices and they made offerings. You'd all be familiar with that. They made sacrifices and they made offerings. So under the Old Covenant, the sacrifices and offerings were mostly physical. In the New Covenant, most of them are spiritual. Who's glad we didn't have to sacrifice sheep and goats and cows this morning? All right, you're grateful for that. But we still make offerings and we still make sacrifices. All right, and we're going to have a look at some of these. So under the old, oh, sorry, you do. Don't get my doctrine wrong. You do sacrifice animals here?
No.
You're a priest. Whoa, there we go. Now, under the old covenant, sacrifices and offerings were incredibly powerful. Because what would happen is when they would sacrifice animals and make these great offerings, an aroma would ascend up to heaven. It would catch the attention of God and it would rain down heaven on his people. A great example is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Solomon makes these great sacrifices. Fire came down because fire is looking for something on the altar. Fire came down, consumed the offering. There was so much glory in the temple, the priests couldn't get in or perform their duties. That is old covenant, and that is fading glory. How much more powerful will offerings and sacrifices be under the new covenant? You know, and also under the old covenant, the sacrifices and offerings were largely limited to the duties of the priests, which were from the tribe of Levi, which was the minority. But who knows, in the new covenant, we are a kingdom of priests. So if you can imagine how powerful it would be if we understand that we are a kingdom of priests and we can all make sacrifices and all make offerings, because as I said, under the old covenant, those sacrifices and offerings access heaven and cause heaven to be poured down upon God's people. And so what we're going to look at quickly is 9 sacrifices or offerings in the new covenant. And if we can understand these 9 things and apply them, we will be accessing heaven and releasing the resources of heaven wherever we go on earth. All right, are you ready? So this is a very simple message. All you got to do is get on your Bible dictionary and put in sacrifice and offering and see what pops up in the New Testament. All right, so going very quickly, ta-da. Haven't really followed my notes. They weren't bad. That anyway, well, maybe another day. All right, so first offering is praise and thanksgiving. So I'm going to give you a scripture for each one. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." Have you got that? Let's offer a sacrifice of praise. Fruit of lips that confess his name. Confess also means to give thanks, and the Greek word for praise also means thanksgiving. So the first, one of the most important sacrifices is a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Incredibly powerful. That's what I think 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So one of our main functions as priests is to declare the praises of God. And praise is incredibly powerful. Nothing shifts an atmosphere like praise. It's incredibly powerful, powerful, powerful. You know, Psalm 22 verse 3 says the kingdom, roughly the song was written from that verse, the kingdom is established in our praises. So when we praise, sacrifice goes up to heaven and the kingdom is established, heaven comes down. Especially in the shout, like with the first song, woo, there was a shout of praise. What's the right word? I'm too drunk. Overestimate the power of raising a shout. You know, where it's, woo! Maybe we'll do it in a minute when I'm finished the sentence. Is that in Hebrew, where the word shout is used in the context of praise, it's the word ruah, which is the same word for breath, and it's the same root word for spirit. So every time we go, God is great, woo, the breath, the spirit is being released. But the kingdom of heaven is in us. And it's got to be released, and the kingdom is only vocally activated. You never see a demonstration of the kingdom in the New Testament, hardly ever, without something being said. The kingdom comes through the breath. It comes through the mouth. And that's why a sacrifice of praise, when we begin to shout and to proclaim God's goodness, the breath, the spirit is released, and the kingdom is established in our midst. That's why we see, I'm sure it's all over the world, we see a lot of people healed in our praise. Because health replaces disease. Wholeness replaces sickness. But the kingdom is established in our praises. And especially I like to call it the high praises. In Psalm 149, it says, let the high praises be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. And it ends off by saying, too drunk to think of the verse. I'll have to read it. Well, it says basically to execute judgment against our enemies. It's in Psalm 149, ends with that. It says, this is the glory of all his saints. Now, when it means enemies, it's not the person that you got offended at work. It's talking about the spirit realm. But what it means is that if God has decreed judgment against, if you're being attacked or harassed by the forces of evil, God has judgments for those spirits against you, but they remain unexecuted until we have the shout of praise. And when we release the shout of praise, all those judgments that have been aimed towards us, whoo, they get annihilated. They are executed from heaven. That's why praise is just so incredibly powerful. Psalm 49 verse 1 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. If you think about that, God is infinitely great. We cannot limit God in any way. And our praise has to be in proportion to his greatness. Therefore, we cannot limit our praise in any way. The Hebrew also says, loud in sound is the Lord and loudly to be praised. So let's stand up for 30 seconds. We're gonna have a shout of praise. And in the shout of praise, I'm a belief for healing. And if you've been harassed by any evil forces, you've been plundered by sickness, disease, your finances have come under attack. Woo-hoo! We're going to raise a shout of praise just for maybe 10 seconds. And I believe that the judgments that have been, are going to be executed. Amen. Are you ready? Just 1, 2, 3. Woo! We bless you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Greatly to be praised. We bless you. We exalt you. Woo! Whoa! Whoa! Amen. Woo! Can you feel the shift of atmosphere? It's what praise does. The breath, the ruah, the spirit. The kingdom is then established at another realm through praise. I'm going quickly. I could do a 3-part series on that point. Anyway, number 2. I've got 9 points. Number 2 is this, building community. Building community. People underestimate how powerful building community and building family is. We see that in the next verse, in fact, in Hebrews 13, verse 16. It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The Greek word for share is koinonia, which means fellowship, union, communion. It's like family. It's hanging around. And God says, with such sacrifices, I am pleased. So whenever you hang out, whenever you eat together and fellowship together, an aroma ascends up to heaven. You access heaven every time you have fellowship. People often ask, why is there sometimes the buzz in meetings on an outreach? Often the buzz after the preaching is way better than the buzz in the preaching, because sometimes I miss it. But when God's people after the meeting hang around in fellowship and drink tea, that is a sacrifice that ascends up to heaven and the glory of heaven comes down. It's your priestly function not to leave church like a fire's broken out, but to stay for a while, have a cup of coffee, share in fellowship. I mean, this is powerful. You access heaven. Eating together, having a meal together is not a physical activity. It is, but at a high level, it's a spiritual activity. You invite someone in your home, that relationship is never, ever the same again. Why? Because that fellowship, that hospitality goes up to heaven like an aroma. You access heaven and the glory of heaven comes down. And I've seen, we had a group of people in our church. They invited an odd group together. Just let's connect. While they're eating, these gold flakes began to fall on top of them. They showed me a whole pile of them. Why? Because as they were fellowshipping, that sacrifice of fellowship ascended up to heaven and the glory of heaven came down. Went to minister in a church in Tauranga. We had lunch with pastors. We were just fellowshipping over lunch. There was nice salad, nice food. Then we started seeing gold flakes in the food. Why? Because our sacrifice of fellowship, sharing, caring, enjoying each other ascends up to heaven. Boom! And the glory of heaven comes down. I want to say fellowship, caring, sharing, eating is as powerful as praise. It's one of our sacrifices as priests that allows us to access heaven. I saw it in the Cook Islands twice. We were just eating, having fun. We're having coconuts. They're picking fresh coconuts. And while we're eating, they were getting gold dust. The pastors were with gold dust on them. Why was that? Deep fellowship accesses heaven, brings the glory down. Boom. That's how 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, offer hospitality without grumbling. You're all gone quiet. And what that Greek word means is you offer without, it's given without grudging it. It's like you've made this amazing lamb, which is my favorite meal. Hint, hint. Yeah. Anyway, you have made this amazing lamb and you're dreaming of lamb sandwiches all week. And your guest said, oh, I'd love another helping. And you see your lunch disappear. All right. It says, offer hospitality without grumbling. I want to say it's powerful, caring, sharing, hanging out. And how many testimonies I've heard of people having barbecues and gold coming down because you're accessing heaven. I can go many like that. Anyway, so just take it. That's number two. Ta-da. So they're like 50, one another, love one another, serve one another, offer hospitality, forgive one another, bear with one another. All those things build community. It's all part of the journey. But as you sacrifice, open up your home. One of my sayings for our church is open heart, open home, open fridge. Boom. Anyway. Cool. Let's move on. Number three, dun-da-da, is giving to the needy. Giving to the needy. That's Acts chapter 10. Am I striking oil with me? Ta-da, there are 9 points. Whoa, time's going quickly. I'm just going to talk about something. Okay, Acts chapter 10. I'm so drunk, I'm looking in the epistles for the book of Acts. Has it moved? No, it's still there. And it references three times, giving to the needy. It says, Acts 10, 1-4, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, who was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout. I mean, I can't read with the light here. My Bible's gone blank. I walk in the light, he's in the light. Okay, here we go. So all his family were devout. And God-fearing, and gave generously to those in need. Whoa. And prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 PM, he had a vision, and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. He said, the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Every time we give to the poor, it's like an offering that accesses heaven. And it causes the glory of heaven to come down. How do we know in this context? Well, his gifts to the poor went up like a memorial offering. And what? An angel came down. In other words, he accessed the heavenly realm through giving to the poor. A lot of people want a lot of angelic encounters. I do. I love them. I've had a few. The key is just give to the poor. Sow into that realm. You know, it says, he who gives to the poor lends to God. And so here, you access heaven by giving to the poor. Let me just read another verse and then move on. Acts chapter 4, I'll just read these two scriptures. Still the same point, number 3. It says this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared, koinos, root word for community and fellowship, but they shared everything they had, next breath. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord. Same breath, they shared, they cared. Great power, heaven manifested in the church because they were sharing, caring, giving to those in need, opening up their homes. Number 4, ta-da, am I going too fast? Yes, that's okay, I'm not slowing down. I'm on a roll now. Number 4. I'm going to go quickly through some of these. Number 4 is reaching the lost. Reaching the lost, wow. Now, where did you get that from, Tim? I'm really glad you asked that. All right, Romans 15, look at this. Remember, we're looking at every time the word sacrifice or offering is mentioned in the new covenant. And that positions us to access heaven and release the wealth of heaven on earth. In Acts 15, Paul talks about, what verse was it? It was verse 16. He talks about the grace that was given to him to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Listen to this, with the priestly duty, not the function of the evangelist, but with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that all the Gentiles might become what? An offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So when we reach in the lost, they're like an offering. Boom. So when the lost are being ministered to and the lost are being saved, it's like an offering that ascends up to heaven and touches the heart of God. That's why it says twice in Luke chapter 15. It says when a sinner repents, what happens to the angelic realm? They get excited. Why? Because sacrifice up to heaven. We access the angelic realm of heaven. And they start having a party. It's a sign we've accessed heaven when angels are rejoicing. And that's why I think it's 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15. It says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ amongst those who are being saved. So when you're amongst the lost and we're sharing the good news, we're praying for the sick, whatever the case may be, we are like an aroma that ascends up to heaven and catches the attention of our good daddy that showers down heaven and blessing upon us. Boom. I mean, I could tell you more testimonies, but we'll just carry on going. Ta-da. Woo! So a heart for the lost will always capture the attention of heaven. Number 5, you won't like this one, but I'm going to say it anyway, laying down our lives. Right, laying down our lives. You know what most people liked about the old covenant, at least they killed the animals. But here, in Romans 12 verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. Holy, it means to set apart and pleasing to God. We are like the offering. Boom. When we lay down our lives, an aroma ascends to heaven, and the glory of heaven comes down. You look at, why do people like Leif Hetland, I'm so excited he's coming back. Ah, boom, why do people like Leif Hetland walk in such a realm of glory and see so many signs, wonders, miracles, and just represent the love of the Father? Because they, hey, they got a heart for the lost, but what is this point? Yes, they've laid down their lives. I mean, he's like such a laid down lover. I like what John Wesley said when they said, what's the success of your ministry? He said, I just set myself on fire and people came to watch me burn. Yeah. Boom. We need to be the burning ones like we sing. See, just the greatest fear the devil puts in us, and I just struggle with this for a while, is that if we really get serious and lay down our lives with God, he's going to send us to a place we don't want to go to, and it's going to be miserable for the rest of our lives. We cancel that lie in Jesus' name. The most exciting adventure is to be totally surrendered to our very good, good daddy in heaven. Amen. I love the story of Jim Elliot. Well, I mean, it's a tragedy, but the story about him is that he was flying with his pastor and a group of people were taken on the plane and they flew over the place where he was murdered. Where he was, martyred. And this visitor said to the pastor, that's where he died. That's where they martyred him. He said, no, he didn't die there. And this guy said, no, I know the facts. He died there. The pastor said, no, he didn't die there. They go, oh, look, I know. I've been here. That is the place where Jim Elliot died. He said, no, Jim Elliot didn't die there. He died years before on a Sunday morning service when he decided to lay down his life for the King. Wow. New Zealand needs laid down lovers who would not fear the consequence of total surrender. Think about the Moravians. Wow, they sold themselves into slavery. It was one of the longest revivals on the planet. Was that Moravian prayer revival that sent out missionaries. Why was it the longest revival? Because they laid down their lives almost to the absolute extreme. And that sacrifice of their very lives ascended up to heaven and caused the revival of 100 years to rain down on those people. Wow. Got serious. Anyway, let's move on. Number six is living a life of love. Let's all smile. Smile at the person next to you. Come on, say Jesus loves you. Woo! We're coming to a close. Okay, this is number, what did I say? Number six, living a life of love. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. It's verse 1 and 2. It says there, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Wow. When we lay down our lives for each other, heaven goes crazy. Wow. We just get so attractive to heaven that you can just walk in the glory of heaven 24/7. I want to be walking in the glory 24/7. Walking in the awareness of heaven. I'm not there, but I want that. But here's another key, is lay down your life. You know, when that Pharisee came to Jesus and said, which is the greatest commandment? He wanted one, Jesus gave him two. And he said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. But then he added one and he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. Boom. In Romans 13, Paul takes it only to one commandment. He says, all the law, all the prophets are summed up in this, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that love, to really love each other. And that's our goal. We're chatting in the car coming up, like our vision for Rising, is to have this authentic, loving, caring community of people. That people, when they walk into our church, they just get hit by a love bomb. Boom. You know, we so easily get tripped up with offenses and little minor things. We lose the plot. I want to say love and love and love. Just live a life of love. You know, just live a life of love. And look at the amazing people in this church. How can you not love everyone? I know you do. I'm just kind of teasing you. Living a life of love. Let me move along. Number 7. Am I getting my numbers right? Financial giving. Whoa, we had one shock, state of shock in front. We just ministered to that shock in Jesus' name. No, just kidding. Financial giving is powerful. One of the first supernatural things we saw in our church was like a mass, one of the biggest diamonds we ever saw. It manifested in our offering basket. Boom. Because why? Here's the verse. If you want the theology, Paul says here, verse Ephesians 4:18, he says, "For I've received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied, etc. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus," when you're drinking, you can't say Epaphroditus. Anyway, "the gifts you've sent me." Then he says, "They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Wow. We access heaven with our giving, financial giving. A fragrant, some of them either say offering or sacrifice, but giving says a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. Giving's incredibly powerful. We access heaven. And that's why it says in the next verse, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory," which is the heavenly realm. And that's what happens. We got two ways to live, either naturally, where we live on our own resources, our own supply, our own savings, or we can step into another realm, which is the realm of giving. So down here, our supply is limited to our savings account and our work and our job. But when we sow into the glory realm, the unseen heavenly realm. That takes us into a supernatural realm, where no longer is our supply limited to what's on earth, but our supply is now, well, it's not limited, but it's limited to what's in heaven, which is unlimited, unlimited resources. And that's why, although it's in the Old Testament, the truth is still the same with Malachi 3. Will I not throw open not just the gate of heaven, the floodgates? Financial giving is incredibly powerful in opening up the floodgates of heaven and raining down supply. Almost done. Number 8 is, I call this apostolic partnership. I know you guys are into this. I mean, gee, you're making very good relationships. People like Leith Heckland, wow. That's powerful. Now, where do I get that from? Well, in Philippians 2, verse 17, Paul writes this to the church at Philippi. Firstly, in chapter 1, he talks about his partnership with the church at Philippi. And then he says in Philippians 2, verse 17, he says, "Even if I'm poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service that comes from your faith." Now, if you can just catch that, there's like such wonderful typology in that one verse. He says, "If I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service that comes from your faith." There's both an offering and a sacrifice. And what Paul is saying is that the sacrifice is always the main thing. Like the local church is the main thing, but it's not complete and will not access the full riches of heaven unless there's an offering that accompanies that sacrifice. And he was saying that his apostolic ministry is the offering that accompanies that sacrifice that makes it complete. Like in the Old Covenant, there sometimes had to be an animal offering and a drink offering. They would sacrifice a lamb, but they'd have to pour wine on top of the lamb, and only then was it fully acceptable and would access all the resources of heaven that was needed. And that's what it's saying here, that the main thing is the local church. That is the sacrifice, your faith. But without apostolic ministry, it's not the whole picture. You need apostolic input that comes like the offering, like the drink offering on top. And together, they make an offering and a sacrifice together. Boom, that accesses heaven and brings the glory of heaven down to earth. Last one, coming up for water. All of these are like a sermon in themselves. I'm giving you the headlines. Okay. Last point in one closing scripture. Number 9 is prayer. You can put Acts chapter 10 verse 4. This one's obvious because the angel said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, "Also your prayers have come up like a memorial offering." And that Greek word for memorial offering, out in Jesus' name, free. Okay, the Greek word for memorial offering, it's like literally in heaven that our prayers go up and like stakes are put in the ground with the prayers that are sent to heaven. And what happens in the heavenly realm, it's a wonderful, I love scripture because it always explains what's going on, well, most of the time. So in terms of prayer, last point, then I have a closing portion, then we're done. In Revelations 5 verse 8, it says, talking about the 24 elders, it says, each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of his saints. All right, so I mean, the principle of prayers are prayers ascend up to heaven like incense and capture the attention of God. Then in Revelation chapter 8, it says what happens. It says another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints and the up on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and earthquakes. So this is what happens. Every time we pray, sometimes people get discouraged. We've prayed for this and nothing's happened. Well, maybe the censer bowl is not full. You see, we got to continually offer. It's like our prayers ascend up also like incense. And the bowls get full. At the right time, the angels take the bowls and vroomp, the answer comes. And it says earthquakes. I can believe that can be literal. Like in Acts chapter 4, verse 30, they pray that great apostolic prayer. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your servant Jesus. And the next verse says the place where they were praying was shaken. Boom. Why? Because the prayers ascended. That sacrifice, that offering of prayer ascended up to heaven like incense. It filled up the bowls. And when they were full, boom, the angels turned them down and the very place was shaken. And we saw the prayers of them were answered. Okay, final portion of scripture before we pray. Injury time. Who of you watched the rugby last night? How many of you, when it came to 40 minutes in the second half, got up and turned off the TV? Did you stay and watch the whole game until the game ended? Sometimes injury time is worth waiting for. That's what I'm saying. Right? I don't want you to get injured. But I want to just look. I want to look now just at the combined power of a church that gives attention to these nine things. Now, I haven't got an example where all nine, but look what happens in Acts chapter 16. This is the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. And look what happens. It says the crowd, I'm reading from roundabout verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, let me get under the light here. After they'd been severely thrown in prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were having a pity party in tears because of their... About midnight, just being naughty, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors were open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, was petrified, and eventually he got saved. But you know what was happening in that Philippian jail? It was not they were stripped, they were flogged, they were beaten, not they were put on the inner cell, they were bound. I mean, they were in jail. They were completely bound. In the natural, there was no hope. But they knew that they could access heaven. They knew that there were no prisons in heaven. So they began to exercise their priestly duties. So they listen, there's about seven they were practicing. They'd laid down their lives. They were living a life of love. They were in apostolic partnership. They were fellowshipping. They were praying. They were worshiping. And they were reaching the lost. What happened? Those seven powerful priestly sacrifices just went up to heaven and so shook heaven that the glory of heaven came down and whacked that jail. How many stocks in heaven? How many jails in heaven? How many prison doors in heaven? How many jails in heaven? How many people bound in heaven? You see, what happened is heaven came down and made that prison look just like heaven. Although Paul and Silas were praying, only they were praying and singing, the realm of what was released from heaven touched every single person. So every single person was set free because Paul and Silas understood the power of their priestly functions. They could access heaven while they were on earth and turn any dismal situation around. Can we stand and pray? So if you can remember those nine things, woo! I know you're doing them already. This is really to encourage you. You know, this is just to encourage you. Because often people think, it's another prayer meeting. Why should I go to a home group? It's the offering. Christians don't really. No one in this church, of course. Of course not. But But sons and daughters don't realize the power of their priestly functions. You know, opening up your home is not just that natural activity. Sowing the offering is not a natural activity. Prayer is not pointless. All of those priestly functions, whoo, capture the attention of heaven and bring the glory of heaven into your field. So I'm going to close in a quick prayer. Whoo, thank you, Father, for the power of the priesthood. Thank you, Lord, for Bethel Church, that you've made them to be kings and priests. And I thank you, Father, that this is a family of believers that powerfully access heaven. And Father, I pray that you take the priesthood, the priests, which is every person in this place this morning, to a whole nother level of accessing heaven. Father, let the power and the glory of your kingdom manifest, woo, powerfully in and through every precious son and daughter. Through every precious son and daughter. I thank you, Father, that every son and daughter is ordained by heaven as a priest. Wow. We're a kingdom of priests. We're a kingdom of priests. Now thank you, Lord, for powerful priests accessing heaven and releasing glory on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.